Not like you're, you know, a stranger to waffle, so we're good. Hello, and welcome to So You Want to Get Into Politics: Adventures of a Would-Be Councillor. This is a fly on the wall podcast following the journey of my friend Craig as he enters the world of party politics for the first time. I'm Rachel, and I'm a local resident of Bemminster and a town councillor.
And I'm Craig, and I hope that you, the listener, will learn how I can represent you and what I'm about. Rachel, how are we going to do it?
Well, we're going to do a weekly Q&A, hopefully picking up questions from our listeners.
Bemminster's Laura Kunsberg.
Exactly.
We could talk about local issues. I would rate the importance of that role as Bedminster's first, Dorset second.
We're going to talk about the week's activities and what you've been up to.
I was just going to say, was that why everybody looked really uncomfortable when I walked in? But I think it's quite important that I just put a warning out that sometimes we will go off topic. We are prone at laughing at each other and generally having a bit of a good time.
We are. So this podcast will be available each week from wherever you get your podcasts. So don't forget to subscribe, like, and share to get up-to-date episodes. Good evening, Craig.
Good evening, Rachel. I can hear you now.
Are you feeling better?
I'm 99% better. I can hear a little bit better, and yes, I feel better. So good. Back to normal.
That's good. Well done. I've got your cough now, so I'll have to go keep muting. It's been a nice sunny day today. Been up to anything much?
But I've sort of done a little bit of sort of day job council stuff with a couple other councillors sorting out some bits with the CB3. But other than that, I've had a bit of a day off from it all. My eldest son was away for the weekend on his first army cadet camp, so me and the youngest went to Longleat Safari Park and drove around watching. Well, he thought it was brilliant watching all the monkeys climbing all over the car. I was slightly a bit more uncomfortable with it, thinking they're going to nick my number plate or pull the antenna off or something. But yeah, so yeah, been a nice day. Enjoy the weather.
Good. That's nice. That's what Sundays are all about, isn't it? I've
Absolutely.
been out in the garden, which was, got to be done in it in the sunshine. Well, anyway, that's enough about us. We've got a couple of questions that have come directly from a couple of local residents because yesterday, was it yesterday? Was it only yesterday?
Only yesterday.
I was running our local litter pick, which you were supposed to be with us for, but of course, managed to get out of it and were driving the bus instead, but still managed to nip into the Red Lion where we were giving our volunteers free refreshments afterwards that Brian was very careful, very generously giving, and you came in to nick a cake.
Well, I wouldn't quite put it like that.
Well, why? How else would you put it?
Well, I was we obviously organize the litter picks, but I also drive the bus. I was double booked in voluntary duties, so I was driving the bus, and then I naturally wanted to pop in and just say hello to
Nick a
everyone and
cake.
nick a cake, although I didn't nick a
Yeah.
cake.
You didn't. I didn't let you.
No.
I literally barricaded the cakes in from you.
You know me too well.
I do. I do. And so that was nice. But what was really great was I was able to talk about you and what's going on with you because they all know you obviously in various forms. They're all involved in as is classic thing, same volunteers come out for various things. Although I have to say litter pick does tend to bring different people, it brings families out, and so it's another audience really. And I think it was a good opportunity for me to talk about what you're up to on your behalf because it was a bit more open and free for people to ask questions. And I was telling them about the podcast. Nobody.
I was just gonna say, was that why everybody looked really uncomfortable when I walked in?
Yeah.
Because you're
No,
all
I
talking about me.
was going to say nobody said anything negative about you, which was very good. And it's not surprising, is it? Because they all know what a good job you do in Bemminster. Some of them are anti-conservative, so that was that conversation that I was able to pass on about, try not to think about the party and vote for you instead. And they were pretty okay with all of that. But what it was it gave us an opportunity for to capture a couple of questions, which I'm going to pose to you now. And I did say that I wasn't going to tell you in advance. So, you know, let's see if you're able to answer these questions as I tell them. So first of all, we had Steve, who actually only came to do the litter pick because when he did it last time, he enjoyed the cakes that I made and he was expecting me to have made them
That's the
and
only
I
reason I
hadn't.
come. That's the only reason I started organizing little pictures with you a couple of years ago.
And I don't think, I think I've only made cakes twice. I need to step up on that and get maybe do it the next time. But anyway, was having a good old chinwag with Steve and Hillary, his wife, active resident on social media, isn't she? Big up, hi, hi, Hillary. She listens to the podcast. She's the only one. So hello,
Hi,
Hillary.
Hillary.
So Steve was asking about. There's a couple of questions here because there
Right.
were questions I could not answer.
Okay.
Probably shamefully, I should have been able to answer. He asked if you are the equivalent of a district councillor, or will be, if the ward councillor is the new name or a more recent term than a district councillor. And he also asked if you get to, if you are successfully elected on as ward councillor, will you have a vote on decisions outside of Bedminster as well, such as things such as amenities or planning and daughter to town or something like that, anything else outside of Bedminster? So they were two questions that I had absolutely no idea about. And I thought I'd said to him I would put them to you tonight.
Yeah, they're very good questions.
They are very good
Yeah,
questions.
to quickly to do some Googling and so I can find an answer. No, it's actually something I've looked into because I'm interested. You know, obviously, I'm interested to know what the role was about many months ago. And being involved in sort of town and parish councils for 13 years, I've dealt with different structures of councils and councillors. So actually, I'm quite fairly familiar with it. So the first question is pretty much what you thought is ward councillors is basically the new name for district councillors. So before Dorset Council became Dorset Council in 2019, we obviously had West Dorset District Council. So councillors that were part of the West Dorset District were district councillors for the different areas. So when Dorset Council kind of took all those smaller councils in and became what we know now as Dorset Council, it's they call it wards. And actually, some town and parish councils also work by wards. So my first parish that I was part of, we actually had wards within it. But at Bedminster Town Council, we've never really worked by wards because, well, don't need to really. But no. So in short, ward councillors became ward councillors. From district councillors, so it is essentially one and the same thing.
Right, okay.
The second question is, yeah. So I actually was talking to—I can't remember who I was talking to about this, but I was talking to somebody quite some time ago, and I'm going to sound stupid now because I can't remember what you called it. You know, this is how it was described to me, and I like the way of describing this. You're laughing at me now because you can actually see me. You're obviously, listeners or our listener can't see me, so
Yeah,
they.
one and only Hillary.
Yeah. If you think of an egg timer, you know, the old sand egg timer.
Yeah.
So it's big at the top, then it's that pinch point, and then big at the bottom. The way I
Bit
always
like
think
me.
the way it was described to me many years ago, and actually I think it's a really good way of describing it, is that is kind of like what a ward councillor is. So a ward councillor within Dorset Council sits at that pinch point of a egg timer. So one side of that big part of the egg timer is the ward, and that ward councillor is responsible to their ward and standing up for their interests and speaking to their constituents and residents and dealing with local issues. And then the other half of the big egg timer is Dorset Council. So I'm kind of like in the middle of Bedminster and then Dorset. So when you look at how Dorset Council is shaped up, it has a number of different committees and subcommittees that fall under different kind of responsibilities, and councillors of all parties will be part of those committees, and they're quite often cross-party committees, so it's not all particularly politically driven. And it's the same in the kind of example I could draw would be a bit like with the town council. We've got town amenities committee, we've got finance committee, so on and so forth. It's like exactly the same, but on a slightly bigger scale. So part of the answer to the question is yes, as a ward councillor, I will also be w involved in the decision-making process of wider issues for the whole of Dorset, as well as just Bedminster.
Right.
And then for me personally, the sorts of things that interest me within all that kind of work is things like crime and disorder. So there is a policing panel of kind of, councillors that have committee meetings with Dorset Police and discuss crime, antisocial behaviour, crime, police related issues. I think I could offer a lot of value to that because I'm ex-Old Bill. So, I've been there, done it from the other side of the table. And the other thing that I'd be interested in working in within Dorset Council as well would be climate emergency, stroke environmental issues. Because, as you know, Rach, my day job now is I'm a retrofit coordinator by trade, which basically means I am quite green in my mindset towards things and assess people's homes for solar panels and insulation and air source heat pumps and all that sort of stuff. So I'm really pro the green kind of agenda. Climate emergency is a big thing. And I think how councils deal with that is really important. So they're the two things I'd like to be part of. And then there's a fairly long-winded structure on how councillors make those sorts of decisions. So the other kind of obvious one would be planning. And if you watched the most recent planning meeting with regards to Parnham, non-contentious planning issues can actually be decided by officers. But if council officers decide for a whole host of different reasons that it should go to planning committee, then that committee is cross-politic and cross-Dorset councillors. There will be a committee of councillors that will decide planning issues on a kind of pan-Dorset, what's the word? Pan-Dorset issue. Across the whole county. So actually, if you watch the speech I gave for Parnham, quite a few of the councillors within the planning committee, I think, were actually not conservative and not from West Dorset.
Right.
So for me, going back to the very start of all of that, for me, I would rate the importance of that role as Bedminster's first, Dorset second. So I've been doing, I can't really talk about it too much at the moment, but I've been doing some work behind the scenes with a local business who wants to expand their business into another part of West Dorset, and I'm trying to help facilitate that. So that's kind of an example of how a ward councillor looks outside of the ward, because I see the benefit of a good local business growing for us, but obviously it benefits the wider West Dorset. And if the wider West Dorset has a strong economy and people come to visit, there's more chance people visit us. So it's often thinking out, past the picture of Bedminster and thinking of, the bigger picture of West Dorset and wider Dorset. So yeah, there will be stuff and work that I will be involved in that's not just Bedminster. But as a ward
And
councillor, I think Bedminster is always like the number one priority. And then you just, you take that. And ultimately, it's about influencing the debate, right? So if there's a debate that happens at Dorset County Council, Dorset County level, and there could be a detrimental impact to Bedminster, my job as our ward councillor is to put up that kind of argument and that fight to protect our interests within that bigger Dorset debate. And I think I'll be pretty good at that.
yeah.
Just for my background,
Yeah.
in lots of different things. So yes, yeah, it's home and further afield. And
Great.
you can tell you didn't tell me about that question before because I waffled for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So I hope it
Well,
all makes sense. I mean,
yeah, I mean
did it make
that's not
sense?
like it's yeah, it did make complete sense. And it's not like you're, a stranger to waffle, so we're good. He actually asked Steve actually asked another question, which is not really related, but do you mind if I ask you anyway? Because you might know the answer, and hopefully you'll be listening so we can get this answer as well.
Yeah, sure.
I was saying about Bedminster Town Council being a non-political council. And because I actually did try and get people
Recruit him.
to, yeah, I was
Yeah.
recruiting while I was there. And Steve asked if you, when you put your nomination in, once the people's names are listed, does it still say whether they are from a have a political interest?
Is this for Bedminster Town Council?
Yeah.
No, it won't.
Right. Okay. And is that
So,
because we're non-political, or is that just not something that would show up anyway?
well, partly non-political, but so just I suppose it probably helps to slightly explain what non-political or apolitical means at a county council, at a town council level, and then the actual answer to the question will make more sense. So, as a rule of thumb, most parish councils and some town councils, although actually Bedminster is quite rare in this, a lot of the other town councils locally are political. But as a rule of thumb, parishes and towns tend to be apolitical councils. So that doesn't mean that members of political parties can't stand and say they're Conservative, Lib Dem, whatever. So a kind of example of this actually is, I believe Dorchester Town Council is very much a Liberal Democrat town council, but it's not officially a party political council. It just happens to be that most members are Lib Dems. But when you apply for an apolitical council, essentially, when you put your papers in, within the nomination paper, there is a section to say, are you a member, are you standing on behalf of a political party? And if you say yes, then there's a list of questions that relate to that. So you can't make up a political party. You have to represent a party that's registered, and and then you answer questions about asking permission to use their logo and all that sort of stuff. But essentially, town and parish councillors stand as independents. That doesn't mean that they necessarily are independent in the sense of being politically. So within our own town council, obviously I've publicly said I'm a Conservative Party member, but I know there are other members of the town council that are or used to be members of other parties. It's just how we work. We are a political party. So I'm not Craig the Conservative councillor for Bedminster. I'm Craig the councillor for Bedminster.
Yeah.
So if
And
anybody
so
wants.
when your nomination paper's in, it doesn't say Craig Munson then Conservative afterwards. It
No,
doesn't, that's
don't.
a, it's kind of
No.
irrelevant in that.
It's irrelevant. And
Yeah.
actually, the reason it's irrelevant is because being an apolitical council, there's no kind of power or control over a major party within the town council.
Yeah.
So as chairman, obviously being chair for the last 4 years, that doesn't actually give me, I'm not in charge of a majority party within the council. It's very similar to a mayoral position. I'm literally there just to chair the meetings and obviously to conduct some public facing representation for the council.
Yeah.
But I don't have any extra powers. I don't influence council's decisions. We all individually, individually then collectively make decisions for the better of the town. So you can be a member of a party and still stand as a town councillor, or you can be an a true independent and still stand for the council. It makes no difference at that town council level.
Great. Thank you. Right.
But
Wow. Okay.
what that means for
So,
you, well, I was just going to say, Rachel, so what that basically means is when you fill in your paperwork,
yeah.
there's about 8 pages you don't have to worry about.
Yeah, and that's a reminder that I still got to do my paperwork.
Yeah, nudge nudge.
Let's move on with another question from one of the other volunteers that was helping at the litter pick, Ali. Hi, Ali, if you're going to listen. Hopefully you will be.
Right.
Ali is very much involved in the speed awareness in the town. And she said that in a meeting last year, you had mentioned the topic of HGVs coming through the town. And she wondered if you had any news on this relating to bringing the speed down as well. Now, I know that the 20 miles per hour issue is one of your key points, right? So this is quite nice to be able to fit into
Yeah, did I
your.
say that? Oh, I'm joking. I do vaguely remember saying that. No, I do remember saying that. Hi, Ali, by the way. I think I'll be seeing Ali next week for a meeting on 20 mile an hour limits for Bedminster as well. So I look forward to seeing her there. But I'll answer the question here anyway. So, yeah, I did mention this. I mentioned this a few times in meetings. So, some time ago, there was a review done, I believe, by the then West Dorset District Council to consider making the centre of Bedminster like not suitable for heavy vehicles. And what that would probably mean is that vehicles would be diverted up, is it Wickham Road? You know, where the Chinese
Yeah.
takeaways and the car wash. So heavies would be diverted up there, up to sort of Top Road, and then obviously come back down the tunnel or carry on. Because most, well, I'll say most, but quite a few of the heavies that go through Bedminster from the south tend to be going on to Yeovil and beyond. So I know there was a review done many moons ago with a plan of, I think, putting a mini roundabout there long before my time. The reason I would have mentioned it, or I have mentioned it at previous meetings, is that it's something that I would be keen to explore again. And it did come up as part of the kind of 20 mile an hour program that we're running at the moment, and obviously asking Dorset to consider a 20 mile an hour, or what, you know, widening the 20 mile an hour zone for Bedminster for lots of different reasons. But the reason I mentioned it then is one of the key reasons, or one of the many key reasons we would like to reduce the speed limit across Bedminster is to, as well as protecting road users and passengers, is actually to protect the town as a whole. And it's one of the reasons Dorset Council consider the reduction of speed limits, because if you have historical buildings near busy roads, heavy vehicles cause vibration. And we know a few residents that live along Hogshill Street who vouch for this, and it can cause damage to old historical buildings. Now, in Bedminster, we have 203 listed buildings. And when you look at the mapping of our listed buildings, the vast majority of those are along the main roads of Bedminster. So I would be very pro the idea of a heavy vehicle diversion, one, to protect the buildings, because we have literally seen old listed buildings involved in accidents quite regularly, where people crash into them or steal cash machines and all that kind of carry on. So there's definitely lots of evidence to support that. And also, there's some real pinch points in and around the town and the square where it's quite hazardous if you're a pedestrian to have, you know, big heavy vehicles passing by. So I would be quite keen the idea of promoting that as an idea. The two sort of big objections I see with it, first would be cost. Changing the sort of categories and classifications of roads and the legals behind it and everything else is quite a costly exercise. So I'm hoping that the, if adopted, the 20 mile an hour zones will offer that protection to, you know, pedestrians and the buildings as a whole. The second potential issue is, I know from my 8 odd years as a traffic police officer, is that unlike most law, traffic and highway legislation is black and white. So when you introduce kind of unsuitable roads, the legislation, I'm this is gonna get really boring now, but it's really it, I see it as being quite important. The legislation around unsuitable roads and, you know, not suitable for lorries and stuff like that, it always talks about weight and size of particular vehicles. And it's black and white. So there's no kind of, well, that vehicle's okay, but we don't like that one. It doesn't work like that in traffic. If your tire is bold, it's bold. If you're not wearing your seatbelt, you're not wearing your seatbelt. If you're a lorry, you're a lorry. And one of the real practical challenges would be that if we introduced an unsuitable load area within the town, it would also affect a fairly large community of local businesses, being farmers, because their tractors, combines, trailers could well fall into that legislation. So, whilst we would be removing one problem, we run the risk of creating another problem, which would make life really difficult for our local farmers. So, it's not, well, the legislation is black and white, which makes a problem not black and white, if that makes sense. So I'm keen exploring it, but one of the reasons I've really wanted to drive the 20 mile an hour project is because, well, first of all, 75% of people that returned the survey said they wanted it, but the lowering of the speed limit may well help with a lot of the problems that diversion would also help with. So I think it's a good idea. I'd like to explore it in the future, but it will be a real difficult one to really make work. Whereas if the reduction of speed limit in traffic management works, then it might be enough to make that problem a smaller problem. So I'm not against the idea at all. I just think that it's a bigger, longer challenge compared to the reduction of the speed limits. Like I said at the start, me and Ali, I think Ali's at a meeting next week. We've had a bit, we've had a return of news from Dorset on this, which we're going to share in council next week. So I'm really hopeful that we're kind of getting to the end game of introducing a wider speed limit reduction, which I think would be great. And for anybody that finds our meetings interesting, we also have agreed to purchase two speed awareness cameras, which work with our community speed watch program. So if anyone's driven through Netherbury recently, you would have seen those signs. So that's two mobile speed cameras that we'll be able to move in and around the town, and use those cameras to also target speeding in known areas that cause problems. So pretty much they're so versatile, we can put them in anywhere we like. So that wider speed limit reduction, that fingers crossed, I'm going to get over the line sooner rather than later, and the additional cameras, I hope, will form a bigger piece of work that will sort of solve the problem. But if it doesn't, we can go back and look at things like diversions and spending more money on, priority lanes and all that sort of stuff. A little bit like other villages, that have done the same. But those things cost, they take longer because they cost more money, really.
How will you be able to measure, or will do you intend to measure the impact of reducing? If the thing goes through that it's the 20 miles per hour is widened, how can you then measure the impact on that in order to give you evidence to take it to the next level to do diversions for larger vehicles, if that is your intention? How can you do that?
So, through the 20 mile an hour limit request, we've had, what they sort of nickname or they call the old rumble strips. So, people may have seen them. So, all the kind of main points that we proposed the new 20 mile an hour zone to start had rumble strips, I think, for 7 days in January, something like that. So, that data was collected and obviously feeds back into Dorset's response around the suitability for 20 mile an hour zones. And ultimately, those strips will say, yeah, well, actually, vehicles as a rule are breaking the speed limit, or whatever. There's other considerations around road layout and all that sort of stuff, which is feeds into that. But the other sort of three stroke four things that we either already have or I'm pushing for that also feeds in that data around speeding vehicles and to see if the 20 mile an hour things worked or not, is the SIDs, the speed awareness speed indication devices that we fitted a few years ago. So we've got two or three sites for those. So that's the old, everyone would have seen them. The most obvious one is on Tunnel Road. When you drive through the 13, you've got the old flashing, speed and slow down. We know that's working, but that also collects data of all cars that go through. So we can download that data and see average speed limits down to the hour, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So that collects that data so we can see if it's working or not. The two new cameras that we're going to purchase do the same thing. They're effectively kind of like ANPR cameras. So they download that data of the vehicle, they take a picture of the vehicle, the speed it's doing, and obviously we can then know where those limits are being affected. So I'm really keen on using those cameras in places like Clay Lane outside the primary school, North Street, East Street, Hogshill Street, the places that we know we have issues. So we can really start to collect data in those issues too, those areas too. And the other two things that we also have locally is our community speed watch team. They're a fantastic group of volunteers that, again, you would have seen them sort of stood at the side of the road with the high-vis jacket and the camera. They collect speeds and registrations of cars that are speeding. And one of the things I've asked for, and we've seen them a little bit more recently, is Dorset Police. So we have seen an increase in the police presence, and I've been pushing the Police and Crime Commissioner to try and have the old mobile camera deployed in Bedminster Mall. So they have deployed a few times in Tunnel Road, and they've even deployed a few times recently in Hogshill Street as well. So you bring all that data together, you then start to see a fairly clear picture of, is the 20 mile an hour zone working? If it does, and that enforcement make you know keeps it working, then it might be that people's feelings of not feeling safe is reduced. So we'll run another survey at some point in the near future once all those things go in. And if the feedback is, yes, it's working, yes, I feel safer, I don't mind crossing the road now, North Street's not that bad, then we know it's working. If it's not working, that's at that point from people's information and all that data we collect from all these other sources, we can put that all together and say, right, what more can we do to make people feel safe?
So, but it's not just about the safety, as you said earlier, is it? It's about preserving the historic buildings as well. And I just wondered how that would be measured.
Well, I think in the first instance, part of the way of measuring that will be through survey and directly speaking with property owners in those areas that are affected. Because, like I said, one of our fellow councillors lives on Hogshill Street, and he talks about the house shaking sometimes when a big lorry goes by. I guess what we sort of know generally is that a lorry going past doing 30, 40 has more of an impact than a lorry going past doing 20. So if that feels like it makes a difference to the property owners, then great. If not, that'll be more of an in-depth survey by surveyors and experts at Dorset Council that really look into those sorts of things, Historic England, people like that. But that, again, when you start talking about changing road layouts, new signage, building curbs up, getting specialists in, all those things take time and money, which I'm more than happy to give my time and work towards. But I think part of that process is trying the other stuff first. Try that. Does that work? Yes, it does. Great. If it doesn't, you go to the next step. And the higher up the ladder you go with these sorts of things, you've just got to have a more of a perseverance and a thicker skin to keep banging on at people until eventually they give in.
I think Ali is one of those people that stands on the side of the road with the
Yeah, I think you're right,
thing
actually.
too. So thanks for that, Ali.
And there's people like Ali that need to join the town council.
Well, I did try and recruit. I tried to recruit when I was when I was shoveling cake down them. Brilliant, thank you. That's two great questions.
Yeah, next time, if you can give me a bit of notice, that I can try and be a bit
Yeah,
more
no,
succinct with
sorry.
my
No,
answers.
this is it now. I'm going into Laura Koonsberg territory now. I'm just gonna put you on the spot and see. But you answered them very well, and
Bedminster's Laura Koonsberg.
exactly. I'm just something I never ever thought I would be comparing myself to, but hey, I'll take it.
I enjoy the difficult probing questions because it makes me think, and hopefully people generally listen to my replies and think, oh, he sort of sounds like he knows what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think surprisingly, I think it does come across that way.
Nice.
Okay, so
Good.
have you got anything lined up next week?
Generally listen to my replies and think, oh, he sort of sounds like he knows what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think surprisingly, I think it does come across that way.
Nice.
Okay, so
Good.
have you got anything lined up next week?
A couple bits sort of going through with Town Council work and the CB3 bus. Really pleased that we've been able to recruit a couple new volunteers that have come forward.
Oh, good. Oh, that's big
So,
news.
well, I thought I'd, again, just generally being a bit of a chancer, I sent an email to all the neighbouring towns and parishes that we serve just to remind them that we were still here and to ask them to consider two questions. The one was to give us some money, which, don't ask, don't get. But more importantly, obviously, generally speaking, town and parish councillors are all of a similar mindset of volunteering and wanting to help the community. So asked if anybody would like to volunteer and help. So I'm really pleased to say that the clerk of Mosterton Parish, no, Misterton Parish Council, and her husband are joining the team as a new Clippy and driver.
Great.
And we had a passenger get on the bus on Saturday morning who saw our little kind of recruiting now poster, and I wouldn't let her off the bus until she gave me a mobile number. So
Well, I don't know if you should be admitting that.
that's how we roll on the CB3. You can get on, but you can never get off unless you volunteer to drive it. So yeah, a couple of new drivers, yeah, a bit of admin around that. So I'm really pleased with that. And then yeah, just much the same. I'm a little bit of analytical with these sorts of things. So I'm keeping a record of everyone I speak to and trying to respond to every inquiry I get or every question I get on my surveys and things like that. So I've spoken to 201 residents so far, Rachel,
Wow.
who have fed through some really vast majority of those have been really positive contributions and concerns and questions. So I've been, trying to respond to as many of those as possible. And yeah, so just we're getting to the business end of it all now. So just keep plugging
Excellent.
away.
And when you become ward councillor, because obviously we're just going to make that assumption that that's going to happen,
Yeah.
we'll be able to continue these podcasts, won't we? And you'll be able to give us insights to what's going on out there. So
Yeah, well, I was
that's.
thinking this the other day, like how, we'll have to sort of slightly rethink the format, but no, absolutely. If people want to listen to it, then why not? I quite enjoy.
Well, Hillary is.
Hillary, we'll carry on just for you.
Yeah.
But I'm going to put some in.
Personal.
I'm going to put some information out next week as well that I'm just working on. Should I be lucky enough to be elected, I want to carry on what I think I've been quite good at for the last 4 years, which is being public and being quite available to people. So I think it was the late Queen, bless her, said you have to be seen to be believed. So I want to sort of set my stall out now to sort of so people know that, if they vote for me as their ward councillor, I will be holding monthly face-to-face surgeries. I'll make myself available for weekly online surgeries like this, like on a Zoom, if people want to Zoom with me. I'll be attending the town and parish meetings, so I'm accountable to the town and parishes, and just putting information out from Dorset Council to people, because I think one of the things I'm picking up on is I think there's some bits that Dorset Council do really well actually, but we don't necessarily feel like they do really well. So I kind of see part of that process is just communicating with the public to say this is what's happened in the last month, 10 potholes were reported, and this is what's happening with them. And
That'd be great.
equally, if nothing's happening with them, tell people nothing's happening with them. But as a ward councillor, chase those things. Squeaky wheel gets the grease, and I will be a very squeaky wheel.
We definitely can't fault the fact that you don't that you're hiding away. We do see you, and that's whether that's driving the bus, stealing cakes from hardworking volunteers, or handing out food at the larder. We do see you, we do hear you, and so it's great. And yeah, it's good to know that that's going to continue should you be elected.
Although that might put some people off, because I'm very happy to accept that I'm probably not everyone's cup of tea. So I'm sure there's a few people. It might even be Hillary listening to this, thinks I've had enough of him for the last 4 years. I'm definitely
Well,
not going
that's
to
their choice to turn around and stay out of your way, isn't it? So it's good. You've got to be visible right now. So it's totally to be expected. We're
Cool.
going to leave it there. Thank you very
Yeah.
much for your time. It's been really helpful to and really good to hear all the stuff to answer these questions. And hopefully we'll have some more for next week. Yeah,
All
brilliant.
right, thanks a
All right,
lot.
take care. See you next week.
See you later.
Bye. So don't forget to subscribe, like, and share to get up-to-date episodes. Well, but you're pretty rubbish with names and faces, aren't you? Should I say that? Do you want me to say that or not?
I'd rather not.
No.